I am Junior Keiko Eva Junior. Mahalo, 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 aloha, 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 and welcome to the podcast. And Bob, I gotta tell you, man, I was looking at the stats, right? Analytics, they call it, right? Analytics. And I was looking over here, and it goes 13,071 plays. See, like, my producer is redoing this stuff. This is the third time we're redoing the podcast. Cause he goes, no, Unks, you gotta tell your story first. Cause we tried putting up the story, and then it was in the middle of everything. So no, you start with the story, and he told me, guarantee you do this, Unks, guarantee this time. Cause he wasn't my producer last time. The first time I did the podcast was like totally wrong. We were trying to do a radio show, right? And then they go, no, Unks, what you're really doing is you're streaming on radio show. You're not doing a podcast. So I was like, okay, all right, take two. So season two was the take two, right? Now we're on season three. This is like take three. Okay, so we started with the story. 13,071 listens, 71 plays, they call it, yesterday. So I want to say thank you to everybody. And we counted the countries. Now, in the old stats, and I'm trying to pull up the old stats really quick over here for you guys as I'm rattling this stuff off. But when we took a look at the last, the last stats that we had on countries, where is it? Right here. Okay, so it says that we are in 42 states and 39 countries. Okay, we are in 52 countries now. Okay, now we haven't audited the United States, because as far as we know, we're still in 42 states. But here's your big fat but we haven't only the desktop version goes into, you know, the really specifics of it. So we got to check into the states. But yeah, we need to revise the advertising that we're doing for the podcast, because it's now 52 states and 52 countries. I was kind of excited when I saw that. I'm like, 52 countries. Okay. But everything is like, this is the community now. It's worldwide. So I want to do our mahalos, start with the attitude of gratitude. This is a Law of Attraction comedy podcast, and I'm Junior Keiko Eva Junior. And a little bit, so they said, well, you got to tell a little bit of your background every podcast, so they know who they're talking to or who they're listening to. And so I'm like, okay. So anyway, we just want to thank everybody for tuning in, no matter what country you're in or what state you are in the United States. Okay, when you guys are tuned in, you are honorary Hawaiians. We deputize you to the highest. Okay, don't ask me what that means. Anyway, so so a little bit about me, right? I'm Hawaii's entertainer. That's our brand. Okay, people like, you know, I got dirty looks from people in the entertainment industry in Hawaii for many years, you know, because the commercial, you know, is like, we used to run commercials. And the commercial said, Hawaii's entertainer, Junior Keiko Eva Jr. So whenever I went into like a room of entertainers, you know, they would look at me and go, well, yeah, you think you're always an entertainer? I'm like, dude, it's a brand. I'm a businessman. Okay. I do business. That's what I do. And I had no choice. Okay. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but the real essence of the podcast is going to be a little bit different. Okay. But I'm going to get there. But let's just talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about the way you get to your goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, for life coaching, right? This is a Law of Attraction life coaching podcast. Now, what you do is you find the target, right? And you know what the target is. Okay. Now, with the Law of Attraction, all you need is the target. That's all you need. Okay. Never mind the process. The how is God's job. The how is always God's job, Hawaiians. Always. Okay. And, you know, I knew this from small. Okay. Now, I used to, this is a little insight. Okay. When I was in high school, right, I used to smoke cigarettes. Okay. And, I'll tell you guys that. I mean, you know, okay, I do not condone cigarette smoking in high school. I want to say that. I'm just telling you what I did. Okay. And, like I said, Hawaiians, I'm not here to, you know, be a superhero and act like I never did nothing wrong or act like I never did nothing bad. Or, you know, I talk about my failures all the time. Okay. But I also, you know, give real views of what really happened to me. I mean, I tell the truth about what really happened. So if, you know, some people don't like what I say or whatever. Okay. Oh, we're smoking in high school. Okay. Go ahead. Try to cancel me. I dare you. anyway, so I was smoking cigarettes. And so I used to go down into this valley. So we have a valley by our house. Our house is right on a valley. Tremendous view. It was a blessing to grow up where I grew up. It was awesome. I used to walk down into the valley, take my cigarettes with me, right? And I used to climb up this mountain. It's not a mountain, it's a hill. This little hill, the hillside, right? And I used to sit in the trees for hours and hours and hours and visualize being on a stage entertaining people. Okay. Now, this started when the visualization for me started like a long time ago when I was five. When I was 5 years old, my mom took me. See, my mom was a school teacher. My dad was a school teacher. And then, you know, they got divorced. But while they were married, for those years that they were married, right, they would teach me all kinds of stuff. And because they were both teachers, my dad was a professor, my mom was an elementary school teacher. And because they were, you know, like that, right, I was the guinea pig. So they would, you know, they would say, okay, what can we teach him? You know, that kind of thing. And so I learned all kinds of stuff, all right? Now, and I got, you know, I also got to put into this thing that I was born with both types of ADHD, but back in the day, nobody knew. So, you know, and it didn't really get to be, I want to say, hard to manage. Maybe that's a term that we can use, hard to manage. It was difficult to manage around age six, because sometimes I would get a hold of a Coca-Cola, you know, the caffeine, right? And it, anyway, but yeah, so that's when, you know, everybody was kind of like, okay, what are we going to do with this kid? You know, cause yeah, it got like that. But anyway, so I would go up and I would, you know, my mom taught me all this stuff. Anyway, let's say this part first. See, that's the way my brain works. You know, just, you know, go, it just jumps. But anyway, so my mom used to teach me how to dance hula. I danced a couple of dances. I used to sing songs. She taught me how to do all this stuff and sing. And so I was singing, like, she told me I was singing from the time I was 3 years old. And so when I was five, she took me to this, we had this boat tours where I come from, on the island I come from. And so they would call me up to sing because it was cute seeing this five-year-old sing songs. And, you know, and then they used to have this coffee can, right? And they used to pass the coffee can around. And these tourists from the mainland used to put in like silver dollars and half dollars. And we used to go home with like a bunch, you know, and my mom saved all of these. Until that one summer that we went to Tahiti, and she cashed them all in for traveler's checks. And when we were in Tahiti, okay, not going to tell you what year this was, but when we were in Tahiti, she got the news and she was mortified. She was like, I just turned in all this, you know, all this silver, right? And President Nixon was the one that changed us to the gold, away from the gold standard and onto, paper. But yeah, that was totally funny. But anyway, so, I think Nixon did that in 72, but anyway, so my mom had done that and then figured out that, yeah, we lost a bunch of pure silver. that was funny. So, being that I, you know, was starting to do that and starting to perform for people since five, right? And then, you know, I think around 12, I did these Pidgin English stories and went to these different, Lions Club meetings, and I was kind of popular in the Lions Club circuit because they just thought it was cool for a 12-year-old doing, you know, stand-up. It wasn't stand-up comedy. It was kind of like that because of the story, and it was funny. And I was, you know, I had memorized these stories by Kent Bowman. You guys can look that up online. I'm sure his recordings are still being sold online somewhere. And anyway, so I mean, so that happened, right? And each stage of my life, there was more entertainment. So I would take my cigarettes, go down the valley and go up this hillside. And I used to sit there for hours and hours. And I used to visualize like performing. And you know, and the shows that I had in my head to model after were like We had the Dean Martin Comedy Hour. We had Frank Sinatra singing on all these TV shows. There was a lot of variety shows. So I knew that I had to learn how to do a little bit of everything. And so I split my focus up in my instruments so I could play a bunch of different instruments and do a bunch of different things. And, you know, and I was trying to learn how to do sketches, like comedy sketches and stuff like that, right? And I could do them all in my head, but I you know, I had no one to work them out with. I mean, nobody, you know, nobody to work with, right? So it just kind of sat in my head for years and years and years. So I used to sit on, you know, sitting on this hillside, smoking cigarettes and you know, like complete nature around me, birds and, I don't know, all kinds of mongoose, kind of every once in a while, you know, kind of, hey, what this guy doing here? You know, that kind of thing. And so, but that happened. And so, but this thing, this entertainment thing kept, you know, visualization process, right? Kept going. Sometimes I used to close my eyes. I used to sing the songs that I heard on TV. I used to sing Don Ho songs. This guy from Hawaii, you guys can Google that. I think, now when I ask a lot of kids from Hawaii, I'm like, you know who Don Ho is? You remember, you know, hearing that name and they're like, oh no, uncle, sorry. So yeah, so Google that name, right? And he had a TV show when I was in high school. And so I used to watch his TV show. And, you know, and he made it really, I want to say doable for me in my mind because he was here. And I go, wow, if somebody from Hawaii can do this, then I can do this, right? Right? Wrong. Okay, by the time I got to, yeah, the point where I could do all this stuff, it was no longer a thing. It was all outdated. The music was outdated. Everything was outdated. Okay, but as a businessman, now here we go with the business side. And as a businessman, I got to do everything. Okay, because I had a business, right? And the business was, you know, we called it the Junior Cakewell of a Junior Roadshow. You could still Google that. It's still up where you could see, you know, what we did. Images, all kinds of stuff online. And so we did that. That was a wedding and party business. And we provided entertainment, family-friendly entertainment. Never swore, no foul language, you know. And we did, like, all the old-timer stuff. So that our niche wasn't actually the people that were getting married or the people that were... you know, having their baby, babies having parties. It wasn't that. It was their grandparents, right? That was our niche. And so many people hired us because they go, wow, you know, because they would hire us, right? And the old folks would go, wow, that guy, like, yeah, he's singing songs we know. Because these older people were lost at parties, right? And I saw the niche right away. And these people were lost at because they got reggae music, or they got hip hop, right? And then they went home. And then everybody, I mean, and I'm sure if that's all they had, they would have been happy. Okay. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to make it like I was the saving grace of the old people. I'm not trying to do that. But what it was though, was, it turned out to be a niche. Mm-hmm. And I spotted this niche. I want to say like maybe, I think, the first time I started playing parties, which it, you know, we'll do another podcast on how that started. But when I started doing parties and stuff, weddings and parties and all of that, we first thought that the niche was 70s music, right? The 70s local stuff. And we thought, okay, we just got to repeat the Renaissance music. And then as time went on, I had to illustrate some kind of progression with this thing, right? Because otherwise we would get stuck in one place. So I started transitioning the character that I was doing on radio. I started transitioning, you know, like slowly change. And we would put posters out. So the posters would change. The imaging would change. And in my consulting company right now, what we do is we image businesses. We do a lot of that. VMAC Consultants. You can look that up too. That's our company, our consulting company. Anyway, so we do that. But that's what I did. So I had to go through these phases of different appearances, of different, you know, lengths of time, right? And pretty soon I would go, okay, it's time to change. It's time to, you know, take this or whatever, add this, take away this, shave this, or, you know, we started with a skull cap and then it was, okay, lose the skull cap now and it just shades and whatever. And I mean, you know, so we just kept going. But anyway, the law of attraction says that when you visualize, you can materialize. Because first you need to believe, your subconscious needs to believe it, okay? This is not like, you know, voodoo or magic or black magic or white magic or whatever. No, this is subconscious. Every human being is born with this, okay? But not every human being knows how to deliberately manipulate their subconscious to their advantage. Okay, now I started with this thing by accident. Because when I was, you know, smoking cigarettes in the valley, visualizing this show that I was going to do, right? And I did the show eventually. I did the show, the same show I had in my head. That's the same show I did. And I carried it in my head since I was, you know, like maybe, I want to say 13 or 14, something, maybe 14, I think. And I had a good idea of what I wanted to do because I saw all these guys doing shows, right? And so I thought, well, if I do what they do, you know what I mean? And pattern it after that. And so basically I did everything that I saw and, everything that I learned from watching and, you know, that kind of thing. So visualization was always, I want to say an easy thing for me to do. And I fine tuned it step by step by step. When we were, so fast forward from 14, fast forward through the popularity phase and the wedding and party business and all of this, and fast forward to Waikiki. When we did Waikiki, the first thing I told them was I'd like to see the showroom first, right? Before we even auditioned, I'd like to see the showroom. They let me in the showroom. I went up on the stage and I stood on the stage for, I think maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, and I started looking into the audience, and I imagined the audience there. I imagined what it was going to be like to sing to these people, to tell jokes to these people, to, you know, whatever. And I just stood there looking across the stage, like back and forth, back and forth. Now, I did this thing, you know, back, mentioning the name Don Ho, right, little time ago, just a few minutes ago. So what I used to do at the end of his shows, right, because he used to let me hang out. That's not a podcast. All right? That's totally not a podcast. But I will tell you that I used to sit in his chair after the show. And I used to sit in his chair behind his organ on the stage, okay, looking at the showroom, right, envisioning this entertainment career that I was pushing myself towards. And that helped me to visualize. So when it came time for my show, I did the same thing. I asked to see the show, went on the stage, did all of that, visualized. Then, while we were going through the ups and downs of show negotiations and trying to get sponsors was the first task, right? And nobody wanted to. I mean, a lot of these guys that moved into these positions of management with different companies all, you know, knew me from... well, let's say they belong to a clique, and then the clique broke up and they kind of went their own ways. And now these guys were in positions of management with people that we had to go and see to, you know, for sponsorships and stuff. And of course, none of them took me. We didn't expect anything from them. We knew they belonged to the clique, and, you know, as I call it, being salted, but yeah, I was. And that was fine. That was cool. I was good with it because I understood that, yeah, okay, this is only going so far and then that's it, right? And you know, a lot of things in life are that way, and a lot of things are in business are that way. You can only go, and you have to be astute enough or wise enough, or your eyes have to open wide enough to see the limitations and how much you can go and how much you cannot, okay? Because there's always a limit, and you need to be able to forecast that. Because if you can forecast that, then it's a lot easier because you know, right? Okay, when I get to a certain point, I'm going to have to work outside this thing, or I'm going to have to sidestep that, or I'm going to have to find somebody who can open that door because it ain't going to be these guys. You know, that kind of thing. So that's all. I had to go through tons of that in my life. I can't even tell you, in my professional life. Oh my God. But I started, it started becoming a talent with me. And sometimes, I would push it. Regardless, I would push it. right? And sometimes that irked a few people, and I didn't care. I really didn't care. And sometimes it wasn't intentional. Sometimes it was just out of habit, you know, because I was pushing out of habit. And this is the thing that you need to know about the law of attraction, is you don't have to push. Of course, you know, that was what I knew then. That was what I knew at the time, right? Because this whole law of attraction thing for me didn't happen till 2006. And from 1999 until 2006, it was push, push, push. I can't even tell you, Alliance. I can't even tell you. I mean, work, work, work. But go home and sleep for 6 hours, get up, back down to the office again. You know, and I put some traction on that office in more ways than one, let me tell you. But that was second home. That was, you know, my second home. And the laptop my office and snacks across the street at the store. And that was my life for many, many years. And so, you know, and I don't regret one minute of it. Not one minute of it. It was all worth it. I mean, you know, when you look back at your life and then you see where you are and then you look back and you go, whoa. So anyway, but these things happened, right? And so the visualization process always was sharpened with me. It was like a tool, a sharpened tool. And so I could use that like very, very easily. Until today, when I visualize something, it happens. So now let's move ahead to where these sponsors were trying to, you know, we were trying to get sponsors. Okay, so we was trying to get sponsors. We had this 4-bedroom house in Kalihi, and one of these rooms was like the music room, because there's only three of us. Okay, three of us, four rooms. So one room was actually like our music room. So we had keyboards set up. We had instruments all inside, like everything. And we would rehearse the show, and I would look at the floorboards of the room, and I would envision the show. And I would visualize the show by looking at the floorboard, because that's where I would see the audience. And after I let them, you know, I had them let me in to look at the stage, right? Then I took that vision and I took it home. And that became the floorboard. And the floorboard was that vision that I had of the showroom. And it kind of went from there. And guess what? One day I was looking at the real audience doing the real show. And it was the same show we were doing in that 4-bedroom house in Kalihi in the corner room. The same exact thing, like word for word, just we memorized everything. And it just, I mean, you know, just boom, 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 right down the line. So what we would say is all right, let's run the show. So we ran the show. We ran the show like, I can't even tell you how many times, hundreds of times, maybe even 1,000 times over a few years. But when we were getting really warm, when we were getting to the point where we almost were going to do it, and then that last sponsor fell through, right? And then I just went to the bank and I'm like, okay, never mind. Let's just take this out of the other companies and do it already. Because we knew we were whipping a dead horse at that point. And then the rest, as they say, is history. But the visualization is important. And why am I telling you this? Because so many people have been conditioned, okay, by education, by college, by high school, elementary school, whatever. And you guys, and when I say you guys, okay, I'm talking to the educated people listening, and there's lots of them, okay, because they tell me. I run into them at the mall, hey, bro, hey, love your podcast, bro, you know, and like, okay. And these guys have degrees, they do. I'm exaggerating, they don't talk like that, but they, you know, they go, wow, hey, I heard your podcast, or mean, but nice, you know, whatever. And so, but yeah, so mahalo, thank you for, you know, tuning in, right? But the reason I'm telling you guys this is because in order to visualize, okay, you have to use your imagination. Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows me from like elementary school, high school, they know about my vivid imagination, okay? Now, Einstein said this, and I'm not saying this because of me, I'm just saying what Einstein said, because I had to really, at a certain point in my life, and I think it was in my 20s, I had to question my imagination. Because at some point I thought, hey, you know, am I crazy? Or like I imagine this thing and then it happens. And I imagine this thing and then it happens. Einstein said that education, I'm paraphrasing because I don't memorize, you know, too many quotes, but Einstein said there's a limitation to education, okay? Because there are boundaries, okay? There are certain parameters set up behind every mode of instruction and every topic and every field and, you know, like that, right? But in imagination, there's no limitation. There's no limitation, okay? So, and that was the difference. And so Einstein said, education will take you from A to Z, but imagination will take you everywhere. And I'm not putting down people, you know, with degrees in college or whatever. My mom and dad went to college, so I didn't have to. And I went. I did go 1 year. I got straight A's. In fact, I just mailed the transcripts to my mom. When was this? Because, you know, my uncle told me a long time ago when I was in broadcasting school, I got a job like right away. And my uncle made me go back. He goes, Bro, you got to go back and you got to give your mom the diploma because she paid for your school. And she paid for my college that 1 year. She paid for that. And so it was community college, you know, and I went, okay, what am I going to do? And I went. And I made straight A's. My favorite class was writing. So I went to school to be a writer. I don't know what I was thinking, but there was nothing in college for me. There was no, now there is. Like if I went now, like I would totally take, you know, business courses for music, right? There's a whole bunch now. There's marketing for music, business, there's music, MBAs, there's engineering courses, like everything for music, the music industry, they have now. Back in the day, they have nothing, like zero. No recording studios, like nothing like that on the campus at all. Now, the school I went to has a beautiful recording studio. I mean, really outstanding program they have now. But anyway, so, you know, I said, okay, well, I'll just do writing, you know. And so aced that out, you know, I took guitar and math and some other things. And then I got this job, so I left school, right? But in school, they give you some guidelines of things. In school, you don't go to college to be smart. You go to college to learn your profession or your trade or your, you know, whatever it is that you're going to be aiming for, right? So, and you're not there there's no time or money to like be smart, okay? That's an individual thing. That's up to the individual. But I will tell you, if you work on your imagination, okay, and you start to visualize more things, because when you go to school, you're taught that stuff is not, that's not the thing. And we're seeing more and more, like, especially online now, right? These people are coming out and they're saying things. And you get somebody like Steve Jobs, you get somebody like Henry Ford, you get people like that. They didn't have to be the experts. They hired experts. Okay. They hired engineers and they just drove these guys to produce something, you know, and Henry Ford used to send his engineers back to the drawing board like, many times. Steve Jobs was an a-hole to his people sometimes, you know, but eventually he got it right, you know, and, it's sad, you know, that it ended the way it did for him, right? But, you know, everybody's here to serve a purpose. And I want to tell you guys that if you sharpen your imagination a little, allow yourself to go back to when you were nine years old. You know, psychologists say if you can be that nine-year-old or bring that nine-year-old back, that nine-year-old can fix stuff for you. That nine-year-old can make things easier for you, you know, and it all starts with the imagination. So my imagination started creating things for me like a long time ago. And at first I thought it was coincidence. And then I didn't really think about it up until I was in my 30s. And then it started happening again. So what happened was I went to this guy's house and he had built a recording studio. Now there was only a few guys that built recording studios in their homes back in the day. And, you know, I started thinking about it and I thought about it and I go, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I know exactly what my room is going to look like, my studio. And then eventually it came to fruition and reality, and it was built. I had a carpenter come into this house that we rented and built shelves and, I mean, everything. And I designed the whole thing, and he built whatever I designed. I told him, you know, this. He actually did it better than I imagined it. And then I had a recording studio. See, so these things started happening. And then, you know, I realized it was more than a coincidence. Now, fast forward, and this was in 1990 when I built my studio. And fast forward to, you know, 2006, and then the law of attraction, you know, kind of explained it out for me when I was watching this thing. You got these PhDs and these educators, and then you have these, I mean, people from all walks of life, scientists, you had teachers, you had like all these different people and religious people. And they're all saying, yeah, this is the way the human is designed. And so visualization is important. Now, the second thing that's important, okay, to manifest your reality or what you want in your reality, okay, and that's affirmations. Now, I put affirmations up on, I have 10 years of affirmations. I have these books. They're all in my garage right now. And I put a video up on, where is it? It's up on one of my Instagrams, my life coaching Instagram. It's also up on my TikTok. I put it up there so that people can see, you know. And when you first look at it, right, you go, oh my God, this guy's a madman, right? And in that respect, I am. But what I am more than that, right, is I am self-disciplined, because I had to discipline myself, right? And you know, you can do anything. You can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do if you apply yourself, and the application requires self-discipline. Any top-notch professional would tell you that. Now, this one guy who I thought was pretty self-disciplined, you know, and he was a good leader, and he was a district manager of a chain of stores. And when I told him my schedule, you know, like I'm up at 4, I'm down at the office, like, you know, I gave him my whole schedule, and I said, then I go home to sleep for 5 hours, then I'm back at it again. He looked at me and he goes, "You're a madman." And I said, "Yeah." I looked him straight in the eye and I said, "Yeah." I mean, you know, and I worked that way for years and years and years. Okay. Now, there's a lot of this stuff came into play when I met the explanation for these things came into play when I met this guy recently. I want to say maybe it's been about a year, I think. I've known him about a year, and I work with him on digital things, and he and I have this unusual relationship where I'm the teacher for certain things and he's the teacher for certain things, and we both add value to each other's lives like this, right? And he's younger, you know, so he's 35, I think he's 35, and or somewhere around there. He's like early 30s. And then, of course, I'm the older one, right? And so there's this exchange. And I always describe it, you know, like the hard drive, right? Downloading into the external drive. And the hard drive is an accumulation of all this information, of all these processes, of all these years of experience. And then that external drive, right, is the one that plugs in and, all right, here we go. We're going to download now. And I've played that role countless numbers of times. And you know what it is that if you are a teacher, okay, you are also a learner, because teachers cannot just teach. They have to learn. They have to continuously learn. And I got to tell you, this is such a 360 from my childhood, because I think it was because my parents were teachers and they taught, right? So, and I was on the receiving end, right? So I was on the receiving end. I had to learn, right? And by the time I got into elementary school, I was like, okay, I'm done learning. I don't want to learn anymore, right? And so I had this anti-education thing, all right? And this is going to bring me to something else, okay? Now, this is part of the structure that you have to take a look at. Okay, this is factory education that I'm addressing, okay? And I saw it for what it was when I was a little kid, all right? And I saw this, and I think it would, if I didn't have the parents that I had, I wouldn't have seen it. But my mom and dad did this, right, at home. So I had, like, nonstop learning, right? And my mom continued it up until a certain point, and she gave up. Because I fought her, like, all the way. Like, I had this, I was determined, right? And my mom knows one thing about me better than I think anybody. And I think it's the, you know, when I am forced to do something, it is not going to end up well. It's not going to pan out right now. It will not. I guarantee you. And there have been times that I have been forced to do things, right? And it has never worked out for the other party, okay? For me, I do what I do. I am me, and they need to deal with that, right? But it doesn't end up well. It really doesn't. So what, you know, and the point I'm getting at is when I got into school, right, first grade, second grade, you know, and every year they take a SAT test, right? So I'm here to tell you that there is not one SAT test on record anywhere ever that has any reflection on what I know. None. Not one. Because I saw what it was. In first grade, I saw what it was. And I was like, I'm not doing this. Are you crazy? Like, I, you know, that's the way I looked at it, right? And so I just colored bubbles, right? And I colored bubbles right through high school. When I went to college, right? One of my aunties, a good family friend, that's why, you know, in Hawaii, when you have a good family friend, you call them auntie and uncle, that kind of thing. And one of my aunties worked at the high school still. And my mom had to go ask her for a transcript. And the message came back to me through my mom. I don't think you want to show them your transcripts, you know. And of course I knew, right? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, whatever. I mean, they want a transcript. I'll show them the transcript, but they ain't going to see nothing on this transcript, right? Because there's nothing there, okay? Because the simple fact of the matter, Hawaiians, okay, to me, it is none of anybody else's business to know what I know. Until today, nobody has a clue. Nobody has it. They can't even get warm, Hawaiians, okay? And because I saw this, now this whole premise of factory education and the way they have done these things has totally locked people out of being in touch with who they really are. I mean, and I'm talking about something a little bit deeper than, you know, that person that you see when you look in the mirror, because you see the body. Okay, you are not your body. You are not your name. You are awareness. You are that energy, whatever you want to, if you want to call it energy, soul, spirit. You know, there's another technical breakdown of spirit and versus soul kind of thing. And that's not a podcast, homies. Okay, but I will tell you that you are awareness. And when you start functioning as awareness, okay, and I had to learn this years and years ago. Years ago, Hawaiians, okay? When you have to start functioning as awareness, life changes. Your entire existence will change, okay? First of all, that awareness that you are, that awareness that observes, okay? And, you know, that intuition that you feel, those, you know, some people think it's a voice, but it's not really a voice. You're applying the voice to the feeling. It's intuition. That's a different thing. And that intuition is a different podcast. But I will tell you, okay, that if you start living from awareness and start listening to your intuition and paying attention to your intuition, right? Because we have been taught to ignore these things. We have been taught, like, oh, that's a coincidence. Or we've been taught, oh, well, don't be silly. You know, just do this. You know, something inside of you is telling you not to do this, to do that, the other thing. No, don't listen. Just do this, right? No. So let me give you an example. You're driving down. I gave the example to a very wealthy man this morning, okay? And that's all I can say is he's a very wealthy man, businessman, and I'm his life coach, okay? Now, you don't have a life coach to tell you what to do, okay? A lot of people don't understand what life coaching really is, okay? And you don't know until you get a life coach, or maybe a good life coach, or a life coach that life coaches properly, let's say, okay? So, And your life coach has to have done something. Okay, because if you get the wrong life coach, because I know kids, you know, when I say kids, they're in their 20s. Okay, they live in a downstairs from their mom and dad's house, right? And they're saying their life coach is online. I see these kids teaching affirmations on TikTok. Yeah, wrong. They're doing them wrong. You know, I feel like a Foghorn Leghorn. I'll say you're doing that all wrong, son. Right? You know, that's what I feel like. You know, I feel like telling them, but nah, you know, it's not my place to tell them. Right? They'll find out, but they're teaching it wrong. Okay, and they have good intentions. They're trying to, you know, make a difference. Okay, but they're teaching it wrong. But anyway, this guy is a very wealthy guy. Okay, and I'm his life coach, and I had to explain this scenario to him, a couple of different scenarios. Okay, so there's intuition, and there's intelligence. Okay, everything in the universe is intelligent. Every blade of grass is intelligent. Okay, and we are all one. Okay, because the trees produce oxygen. Okay. Now, the oxygen goes in your lungs. Therefore, you are one with the tree. Okay? Now, I know that's a little bit... I know some of you guys went, hey, wait. Junior, what? Okay, yeah. So, because everything works with everything else, okay? You're not separate from these other people, okay? Because the one thing you have in common with these other people is the spiritual aspect, is the energy aspect inside the body. Okay, not the body itself. The body itself is just the vehicle. That's what we need to get around. That's what we need to pick up stuff. That's what I need to play the guitar or, you know, do whatever. Okay, but that's not who you are. Okay, that's your equipment. That you were gifted that body that you have. Okay, be happy with it. Okay, it took me years and years to go, you know what? Okay, I'm starting to like this body. Of course, I had to do some stuff. I had to make some drastic changes in my life, Hawaiians. The road is never easy. I don't care who you are. I don't care who. Everybody has a challenge. Everybody's going through something, okay? Now, sometimes it's perceived. Sometimes it's reality, okay? But everyone's perception is different. Okay, so this is the scenario I had to run by this guy this morning, okay? And I do it for my clients. So I'm going to give it to you. All right, here you go. And you didn't have to pay me. Okay, here we go. You're driving down the street, right? You get that feeling or that voice. Some people say it's a voice. It's not a voice. You apply the voice to it. You get the feeling that you need to turn right over here at this right turn, okay? You're going down the road in your car. And your free will, okay, the ego that thinks it knows better, okay, dismisses that. Okay, the ego is always, I know better, until you hit the wall, right? Okay, and then you pass the road, you go, okay, yeah, I'll just go. You go, and you get stuck in a traffic jam, and you go, I knew I should have turned back over there, right? Because you did know, right? But you dismissed it. You chose not to follow intuitive thought, and you went straight ahead, got stuck in a traffic jam, and it, okay? That's one scenario. Here's another scenario. Now, this is intelligence. You're going in the supermarket. You're walking down the aisle, okay? You see the ketchup and you go, hey, I think I need ketchup. And then you question, right? Do I need ketchup? And you try to remember, okay? Now, the reason you looked at the ketchup was because the last time you used the ketchup at home, your brain memorized how much you had. Even if you weren't consciously aware of it, right? But you gotta understand how highly sophisticated the human brain is. Okay, don't take that for granted. It's a blessing to be a human. It really is, and you got one shot at this. Okay, so here we go. So you go, nah, that's okay. I got ketchup, right? And you go home. Okay, now you open the ice box and you look, and you, oh man, I got only that much ketchup. Ah, I knew I should have gotten ketchup, right? Okay, but this was different. This was intelligence working. This was your brain remembering that you only had a little bit the last time, but you just used whatever, and you put it back, but you only had a little bit, okay? And that's a little bit different, but it's also your brain reminding you. Now, your brain had no way of knowing on the highway that you should have taken a right, that there was going to be something wrong ahead. Your brain had no way of knowing. So what is that? Okay, so there's the conscious, the subconscious, and the superconscious. Okay, now I'm going to explain it this way. Your conscious mind is the operating software. Okay, now your subconscious, okay, is your hard drive. The superconscious is the network that you're plugged into. Okay, and that's where you get divine intuition from. Okay, that's the source of your divine intuition. Now, you can call the superconscious God, higher self, Jesus, Christ consciousness. You can call it that if you want to. Okay, but that's where you get it from. You get it from the superconscious. Okay, now, Joseph Murphy has a great book, and I give it to my clients. It comes with my life coaching, and I give it to all my clients because I highly recommend his book. And so my clients all get a copy of that. There's a few books that I start my clients off with. One more I will recommend to you by James Clear. Okay, and James Clear is an author that he wrote this book, and what he's illustrating in his book, Atomic Habits, is small little incremental changes over time equals huge change. Okay, so you know that guys that go to Tony Robbins, right? They get all fired up. They get all, oh yeah, bro, we're gonna change, you know. And then 2 weeks later, right, their subconscious takes over again. Because they didn't reprogram their subconscious. They just got fired up by the seminar, by the positivity, by the, you know, maybe testimonials of people. That, oh, yeah, you know, I used to be boss up till I came to Tony, and then now I'm all good. You know that guy, right? And you know that guy. Okay, so, and then 2 weeks later, right, his paradigm kicks in again. Okay, because the subconscious is not reprogrammed. Now, all you got to do to reprogram your subconscious is use a pen, okay? And now we go back to the affirmations and the video I put up in 10 years of affirmations and being a madman, okay? Because I made a deal with myself, okay? I'm an only child, so I make a lot of deals with myself. I talk to myself, like, I get myself in trouble. I pull myself out of trouble, you know? So, I made a deal with myself when I started, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do this for 2 months, okay? Because it takes 66 days to change a habit, okay? I don't know if you know that, but there you go. Boom, okay? That's why you listen to the podcast. 66 days to change a habit. Now, if you want to reconstruct your paradigm, okay? Your paradigm is your habits, your system of actions based upon your beliefs. A belief is a thought you keep thinking. Okay, now all of this goes into your subconscious, okay? Thoughts you keep thinking. So, you know, what's a good example? I don't know, like if you go out on the road, you're going to get hit by one car, whatever. You keep thinking that, it will become reality for you. It will become a belief for you. You're going to believe that when you go by the road, you better watch out because you're going to get hit by a car, okay? And, you know, we're taught these things when we're young, just, I mean, you know, with all the best of intentions, right? We don't want the kids to get hurt. We say, hey, watch out for, you know, whatever, okay? Now, I'm seeing kids don't even look when they're walking into the street anymore, okay? Now, I don't know if the whole world is so bad, Hawaiians. You know, I would rather have a kid alive and a little bit cautious when he goes by the road than to just jump in the middle of the road and walk across the street and put it on the cars to stop. You see what I'm saying? So the world is changing, okay? But anyway, getting back to your paradigm, you have to restructure your paradigm. The way to start it is to start retraining your subconscious, and all you need is a pen. All you need is a pen. Okay, now when you write affirmations, start from I am. When you say I am, you are commanding your subconscious, okay? So here's another observation, okay? Another observation is when, you know, you always hear people saying, you know, like religious people, right? Don't use God's name in vain. And you hear, you know, these old Jewish, right? These old Jewish men, and they're, you know, these, I don't know whether they're Hebrew or not, or Zionist Jews, I don't know, but they, right? But they go to synagogue, right? And you always hear them going, God damn it, God damn it, because that's not God's name. They're not using God's name in vain, okay? But anyway, in the Bible, in Isaiah, okay, God tells Moses, right? Tell them that I am sent you, okay? And God's name is the I am, right? So when you say I am, right, you are using God's name, and that does command your subconscious, okay? So now, and I don't mean to be religious or anything like that, okay? I am not a religious person per se. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not religious. Although I do read my Bible, okay? But yeah, I'm not a practicing religious person, okay? Because I've seen a lot of stuff. Don't get me started on church, Hawaiians. All right. So, and church is a good thing for certain people, okay? It can be a good thing. All right. It's especially good for the people running the church, because they make a lot of money. It's a good commerce venue, or venue in commerce, I should say. But anyway. So now, getting back to the I am, when you use I am, you are commanding your subconscious. And so I have my clients write out 100 I ams, 100 positive I ams when I first get them. You know, so the positive I am smart, I am friendly, I am kind, I am generous, I am. Okay? You can do it too. You're going to feel different about yourself once you get through with 100 of them. Okay? It would be a good idea to do that once a month, okay? I used to do it in my spare time when I started writing my affirmations, because you need to condition your subconscious for receptivity, okay? Your subconscious needs to be receptive, and it's like a tool. It's like anything else. The more you use it, the more you program it, the sharper it gets, the better it gets, okay? And the better the process gets. So, and this is all at a very human level. It's a human thing. Okay. Your subconscious is real. The subconscious is real. Okay. Now you want to do this every so often. Just run through 100 I ams. Okay. And it does wonders for your self-esteem, for your self-confidence, for, you know, all this stuff. I've been teaching confidence for, oh gosh, I don't know how many years now, 33 years. And it creates remarkable results, like remarkable, like outstanding results, like night and day results, okay? So anyway, yeah, do that. That's another thing I have my clients do. Now, I try to provide these things for you guys on the podcast, and I know sometimes we get on stories and stuff like that for examples, but the process is also important. So I thought today that I would, you know, go into some process and processes. Now, you got to know that education, especially people, you know, the more highly educated someone is, the more this sounds a little awkward to them, okay? But you got to really see education for what it is and take the positive side. Okay, there's a positive, there's a negative. Education can make you very narrow-minded, okay? But education can also enhance your knowledge, okay? There's a big difference between intelligence and someone who knows a lot of information. There's a big difference, okay? All right, we'll get into that next time on the next podcast, but I'm just telling you, always, okay? Now, based on what I just described to you and what I told you, go check it out. Go try, okay? The first thing you do, write down 100 positive I ams. Now, using the Lord's name in vain, okay, is when you say things like, yeah, you know me, I'm stupid. You know me, I'm so slow. You know me, I'm so not, you know, whatever, right? When you speak against the I am, when you speak against the I am, Hawaiians, okay, that's when you're using God's name in vain, because God is I am. And if you want to call upon the power of I am, do it and see what it does for you, okay? Go ahead, dare me. or call me on it. Go try them always, okay? Call on the power of I am. And you will summon, okay? And I don't mean summon like evil spirits or demons, right? No, you will summon positivity that comes deep from within your subconscious mind, and that subconscious mind imprints things that bring about reality. It brings reality. It brings things into the physical from the mental, okay? But you got to follow the process. You want more on the process, just email me, hereforyousa@gmail.com. There's no sales pitch involved. I've been helping tons of people for years. And the simple reason why I help people, okay? God gave me everything I wanted. Everything I asked for, I get. Okay, sooner or later. Sometimes I got to wait. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not like, you know, Mr. Magic, right? I'm not rubbing a magic genie lamp. I got to work for myself always, but I'm just saying, you know, God has given me everything I want. I have lived all my dreams. Right now, I'm just kind of like experimenting with a couple, in a couple areas that I haven't done before. You know, I'm not having too much fun anymore in my life. It's a lot of work again. But, you know, it's almost as if I've started all over again, like from square one, because now I'm doing a different thing. You know, I'm retired from entertainment, all of that. But yeah, so, but try it, Hawaiians, okay? I am, just remember. All right, so the next thing I'm going to tell you, Hawaiians, the last thing I'm going to tell you, Hawaiians, is you never know what you can do, okay, until you start to put action into it, okay? Because I know some guys, Hawaiians, I got to go, Hawaiians. But yeah, some guys, they've been doing the same thing, in and out, day in, day out. You know, my question is, right, especially today, God gave you this one life, and you did that? And then what? Well, there's a gold watch and a mahalo party at the end of the road and some cruises, right? Oh, Hawaiians. Hey, want to thank our sponsors, Island Club and Spa, Brother Randy and Sister Jerry. I didn't say mahalo, mahalo. Island Club and Spa, the premier club and spa for fitness in Hawaii. That's right, right down there in Kaka'ako. Also, Voice Master, family of service companies, and AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Until next time, I'm Junior Kekuewa Jr. saying mahalo and aloha.